Hi, Love my name is Anna Gill. Every time. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the master wealth builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And once again, I am coming to you live and, yes, in color from Riviera Beach, Florida, my hometown. I am very excited to start a brand new podcast with a group of friends. And today is podcast number one for our very first show entitled I Am Riviera Beach. And I will be interviewing with my co-hosts, Dan Calloway and Steve White, who both are born and raised in Riviera Beach. And we will be interviewing individuals from the city going back to almost the formation of the city. We will also be sharing a little history about the city. But really, the idea behind the formation of this show is to shed light, a bright, bright, shining light on a beautiful city. Beautiful city with beautiful people and a beautiful history. And so with that, I want to introduce to all of you my co-host, Mr. Steve White. Steve, good afternoon. How are you this morning? You are on the air. Well, this afternoon, I should say. How are you?
Well, good afternoon. I'm doing well, looking forward to the show. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Well, as co-host, if you want to go ahead and start off by telling our listeners a little about yourself, and I'm going to check on our other co-host, Mr. Calloway. But if you want to go ahead and tell everybody a little about yourself, and I will be right back.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so yeah, I am Steve White. I was born and raised in Riviera Beach, and really, really proud to still be a resident of Riviera Beach. I went off to school after graduating. I went off to Florida A&M University, and after finishing there, I moved back to Palm Beach County and ultimately back to Riviera Beach. And Riviera Beach was just a great city to be born and raised in. It's a city that gave us a really wonderful foundation. You know, people talk about the village, but being raised in Riviera Beach, we really did have the village. It's what we lived every day. Everyone knew everyone, and everybody looked out for everybody. And so it gave me, as well as all of the other people that I was growing up with, just a great foundation. And it was our launching pad to go on and do the things that we have done with our lives. I have been an entrepreneur for many, many years, owning my own business, which is a publishing and educational services called Protective Hands Communications. And just really, again, as I said, just proud to be a resident of Riviera Beach and looking forward to what we're going to be able to do with this show, which is to highlight not just the city, but actually highlight those who were born and raised in this city and introduce those who have benefited from the foundation that Riviera Beach has provided them. And there are a lot of people who have experienced a lot of success that many people may not even realize that their start is in Riviera Beach. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to share that with the listeners and just really expose what Riviera Beach has done for us.
All right. Thank you, Steve White. We really appreciate that. And now the man of the hour, it gives me great honor and great pleasure to introduce to some and share with others a man that goes by many names. And I won't go into any of those. We'll let that emerge. we'll let that emerge as many people come on and share. But I really would like right now to introduce Mr. Dan Calloway, which I believe in my heart of hearts is the official, unofficial historian for the city of Riviera Beach. Many cities have founding mothers and founding fathers, and I think for us, I don't know anybody else that knows our history more than this man. So with that, Dan Calloway. If you would please introduce yourself. This podcast is internet-based, so it's not just limited to Riviera Beach, and we will be sharing this podcast all over the world. So we're not going to assume that anybody outside of Riviera Beach know who you are, even though we know they do. But will you just share a little bit about yourself and your thoughts about this being our first episode for a powerful, powerful introduction to our wonderful city?
Thank you. And I'm so inspired to be a part of this because you, this is your baby. You birthed it. I was born and lived right on S Avenue way before it was named S Avenue. It was Oak Acre Home Boulevard, 1938. I was a poor boy and my mother was four kids, and then my sister came in 1940. Reared up in Riviera, the love of Riviera, and knowing what we went through way back then and where we are now, I'm just proud that know that people of color have been given a chance to have a program like this. And we'll talk about a lot of those things like that, but I tell you right now about Riviera, it's a lot of great people that walk up and down the streets and made a life, and we're proud of in all walks of life. And there's none better than you, the way you started out and where you are now and the way you plan to take us. We're just proud about it.
Well, I thank you for that, but I really would like to really honor the city and the founding of the city. And I don't know if either of you want to share. I know Steve talked about where he was born. Dan talked a little bit. I actually was born in Riviera Beach. Actually, they used to call it Comus Avenue. And goes way back. On the 27th of July, 1954. And I say that because oftentimes when I speak nationally, people see us where we are, but they don't know where we come from. And I often share with being the first black female contractor in my state, especially when I'm speaking to people that don't look like me. I share with them, I remember very well riding the back of the bus with my mom, holding my hand because I was born when I was born. But I also remember benefiting from the 1964 Civil Rights Act that allowed me to work in the world of corporate, if you will. And so when you think about those of us who were born in that era, and I know all three of us were, we're old enough to remember those times, I am just blessed, and oftentimes we don't think about when we go back in our mind the history of just our lives when we are able to cross the times in our life in terms of that timeline where we can actually have those experiences. Many people didn't make it to see the 64 Civil Rights Act to be able to benefit, and there were some who are born now, they can't even relate to what we're talking about because of the benefits. So I think that during this show, our goal really, I don't think I know our goal really is to lift the minds and hearts of individuals to just be proud, no matter where you come from. As you're listening to this podcast, you may be from anywhere city in the United States. And we just really want to encourage you to be proud of that, wherever it is, because oftentimes we may leave, go away, and think we're in a better place. But somewhere I read or heard that there's no place like home. And for us, that home really is the city of Riviera Beach. So what are your thoughts about that, Steve and Dan?
Well, it is. I mean, I again, like you said, we've benefited from legislation. We've benefited from the Civil Rights Act and those things. But I think for me, the thing that I've benefited most, and I mentioned it earlier, is that just being raised up in this village that we called Riviera Beach. And I know that people around the country experienced, similar, had similar experiences in their hometowns. But Mr. Calloway and all of those men and women who lived right on my street, and those teachers and principals and everybody who just really created that village atmosphere for us and gave us that foundation, you know, because when you're raised in the village, and like you said, we were raised during that time prior to, quote unquote, integration. So we were raised in a time where a lot of our cultural values were held intact. And so being raised in that village, we were able to maintain our culture, maintain values that were, you know, near and dear to us, and then they were just simply being passed on one generation to the next. And so that kind of love, that the kind of confidence that builds, the security that builds in children is really what I think gave me my foundation. You know, so when you go off to college and you come back home and the lady in the neighborhood just puts $20 in your pocket because she just wants you to know that she's proud of you, you know, and you realize that those people are looking for you to take it to that next level. And so just having that foundation, you know, being able to sit at the dinner table in your neighbor's houses because everybody could eat out of each other's house, you know, and just knowing that, you know, everyone was looking out for each other. It's just for me and Mr. Calloway, it's just, like I said, Riviera Beach to me was just giving me a foundation, you know, and you know that when it comes to children, if they're going to be successful in life, everything begins with that foundation. And that was the beauty of Riviera Beach, is that it gave me a foundation. It gave me a childhood that I could, like I said, just launch from and go on to do bigger and better things. And last thing I'll say is, like you, Ann, when I travel and I am speaking or whatever the case may be, I always tell people, you can't say that I'm from West Palm Beach. I want you to say that I'm from Riviera Beach, you know, because I think that's very important. But more than anything else, yeah, it was just the village and the foundation that it provided.
Awesome. Well, Dan, your thoughts, Dan?
I want to echo some of the things that Steve, and I agree with that. And it makes me feel really well about anything, especially when I can set at a table with you or Steve or somebody that I knew when you were little leaguers, he was a little cheerleader, he was a good student or whatever. And I'm a proud person to see the struggles of life that we have reached this pinnacle, and we know we got a long way still to go, and I think the steps that we are taking now to remind kids who they don't know their history, because they haven't been taught their history and the shoulders that they are standing on, because there was a lot of people who went through a lot of embarrassing moments because people thought we were inferior because of the color of our skin. We were never inferior because we all are God's children. But the struggle has not stopped. We're making strides. And I think when people hear about this program, who knows, somebody may want to make a movie out of it or whatever. But I'm so proud of the people who went off, came back, the ones who stayed here and stayed in the struggle, and the generation, because every generation should make the generation ahead of them better than what they had. And if you keep doing that, you'll never have a perfect generation, but it'll be much better. When you talk about this, I didn't understand what you say. What did you say? Hello?
No, go ahead, Mr. Calloway. I think that was just some interference. You can go ahead and finish.
Okay. The thing that I think that we should do, and especially with our tutorial program, our program that we are training people for trades and different things, and, of course, for the last 50 years, predominantly, I've been trying to send our kids off to college to, whether through sports or academic or whatever, just get them off. Because I know that the more education they have, the better chance they have to get into whether it's corporate America or whatever. We need to put that at the pinnacle. And we shouldn't have no child left behind. And that's where I'm saying right now.
Well, I think that this is the beginning of that, just having a mindset shift and creating an awareness. For me, I think I delayed in acting on this, and I started this conversation off by saying, many people talk about an idea, and I wrote here, Earl Nightingale made the comment, we read the thoughts of things and all of these wonderful, affirmations and even the scripture and all of these things that help us to know that anything is really possible. I think so many of us, especially from the city, we, no matter where we live, going back to what Steve just shared, there's something that was placed in us. And one of the books that I'm always referencing, which is Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, talked about the fact that greatness is the ability to recognize the power of your own mind, and then embrace it and then use it. And I think that we all have the power to re-embrace, re-engage for some of us. Many of you, Steve, you've never stopped serving and giving. Same thing for your sister, same thing for you, Dan. And for people like myself, coming back to give, think that we can re-embrace, if you will, the city in terms of, and this is, and I just want to make it very clear, this is not a political conversation whatsoever, so that anybody listening to this, this really is about the people of the city, not just the haves, but also the have-nots, because we all started out as a have-not, if you will, right? And we made choices. And Dan has a story that he tells us often about the fact that there are people from our city, for example, that are in prison. And they talk about, what they saw, they did what they saw. But then he shares with them, there were people who saw the same thing you saw, and they made a different decision. And so for
yeah, that
me,
was a story I shared with you, Ann.
Oh, okay, that was you. Okay. Instead of me trying to share it, why don't you share the story? Because I think that is powerful. Because the thought still is that we each have a decision to make. So why don't you share that story?
Well, I have a prison reentry program, and I go in and I work with men. And who really just helped to prepare them for successful reentry. But I remember, what I was sharing with you was that there was one session that really stood out to me because I asked a young man, basically like what was the at the root of him being in prison? And one of the things that he said to me was it was the environment that he grew up in. You know, that he grew up in an environment where there were people, selling drugs and committing crimes and even within his own family. And so growing up in that environment, basically what he was saying to me that it was almost inevitable that he would end up in a life of crime as well and then ultimately in prison. But I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. In that same environment that you grew up in, were there doctors that came out of that environment? Were there teachers? Were there, plumbers, attorneys, et cetera? And, of course, his answer was yes. And I said, well, they would say that they were a product of their environment. And yet both of you came out of the same environment. So just as you were saying, so at the end of the day, it really was their mindset. Because both of these individuals, if you will, if you were to look at the individual that went on to achieve what we would say is success and then the one that wound up in prison, they both would say that they were a product of their environment. So what was the difference? The difference was at some point one made a conscious decision, to follow a path that would lead to success, and one made a conscious decision to get involved in criminal activity. So, we are shaped by our environment, but at the end of the day, it's also going to come down to those individual or those personal decisions that we all have to make. And so that's something that, even working with the men that are incarcerated, it's all about getting them to understand that it's going to come down to those personal decisions. So, yeah, so that was enlightening to me. We hear that all the time about people blaming their environment or crediting their environment, but either way, it still comes down to personal decisions.
Well, I'm glad the three of us. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan. You're saying something.
Well, I want to echo that. You know, we all going to have some adversities in our life. And in biblical, when you were quoting from the Bible, greatness and famous is two different things. Famous is only one time in the Bible, but greatness is all over the Bible. Because greatness means that you serve God's children. You did something for them unselfishly. And see, I think that one of the things that people are going to get insight of what we went through in Riviera, because a lot of people was pushing a lot of other people. They didn't just go with I, me, and mine. It was always plural. We, ours, us, they. And that's what we still must do. See, we got a charge to keep. And one of the charges we have to keep is that we got to take care of the least, the lost, and the left out. When I was reared up on S Avenue, they didn't lock the doors. We were able to walk in any of the people living on S Avenue and go in there. Everybody got whatever they're eating, they share it with whoever walked through that door. But the day and time, we live behind a steel fence or iron wall or something because we're worried about somebody going to do us part of the harm. And, of course, being an ex-lawman, I understand that. So we got to get to that the village concept to take a village to rear a child. And if we can do that, we'll be very successful. And one thing we're going to have to do is when we send kids off to school, when they come back, we got to get them a job. That's just all too fast. We got to look after our own and keep building and building and building. And we got to have what we used to have right there. You sponsored it over a good far problem, numerous of years, certain days, 3,000 and 4,000 people from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening. And we're giving away free food and everything, having fun. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah, it takes. It definitely takes a village, if you will, in terms of looking at the programs and really the future. And we talked as we were preparing to create this show. I cannot think of the guy's name now, who I was asking you about. That every year he would. He was tiny. His name was Tiny. There
oh, Tiny Ferguson. Tiny Ferguson.
Tiny Ferguson. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Tiny Ferguson. He was about what, 200, 300 pounds?
No, he was about 375 pounds, and he's only 5 feet six.
That sounds about right, Mr. Calloway.
That's why they called him Tiny, because he was so large. But he was always putting something together to make people feel better about themselves. And then he had a band. It was Tiny Ferguson and the Royal Sheik. I knew all those guys personally. Tiny Green was.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, but what I always remember as a child, what I always remembered about him was that a lot of that money that he raised from that band, he funded an annual scholarship. Exactly. Annual scholarship to Bethune, which was his alma mater. And I never really realized the impact that that would have on me subconsciously and subliminally. When I left to go to school, I went to Florida Memorial, but I always remembered him. And as a result of that, my husband ended up being the number one giver. I think he's still number one. Every year as an alumnus, he gives more money than any other graduate almost every year. And for me, the money was easy, but the time and the commitment to give to the students, for me, that came from watching him as a child. And I never really just until right now am able to make that connection. And we're talking about I Am Riviera Beach. That's the name of this show. And if you're listening for the very first time, We started the show a few minutes ago, but if you just tuned in and just started listening and wondering what we're talking about, my name is Ann McNeil, and I'm on this show with my co-hosts, Mr. Dan Calloway and Mr. Steve White, and we're talking about the fact that hashtag I am Riviera Beach, and we're just sharing our own stories, and we plan to bring a guest each week as we highlight a particular person each week who's from Riviera Beach and who's done great things, doing great things, or will do great things, because we don't want to leave the young people out, and we want to speak life over their life, and we're going to project that they're going to do great things for themselves and for the city. But I just now, for the first time, I'm making a connection with what I remember watching as a child, Tiny Ferguson do. And then with my own life now and looking back in retrospect, I've hired over 100 interns in my company over the last 40-plus years, which when you think about it, is not a lot, because it's really an average of about two people, a little over two people a year, at least one person per semester, which is not a lot. It's like the power of compounding pennies in, a few dollars in. But oftentimes we don't think about it like that. We think about it as something big and huge, similar to what you're doing, Steve, with the students, and the same thing you've done, Dan, over a long period of time, all of us, that we've invested. And I think that going back to your point that you made, Mr. Calloway, about helping the students, I think that if we can get more people to just adopt one child, I don't mean literally, but I mean just be willing to invest. If each one of us from Riviera Beach just make a commitment to invest in one person, and it doesn't have to be money, because money is easier. What the challenge comes is your time, talent, and your treasure to make that investment over a long period of time.
And I think, well, you know, if I could interject something real quickly, is that, so you said that you had 100 interns over the past 40 some odd years. And
right.
You know, one of the things that I've always done is, I remember a long time ago, I learned that, and this will make sense, so that a newspaper, for instance, what they do is they count readership. And what I learned is that, so if one person reads, buys a newspaper, so one person bought the paper, but the newspaper has calculated that three other people will hear about what was read in that newspaper. So only one person bought it, but I shared that information, that article, with three other people. And so actually four people were influenced by that one person buying the newspaper. So I've always looked at that calculation and saying that, so if you hired 100 interns over those 40 years, actually that's 400 people, right? Because you've got to figure that intern, think about how many lives that intern influenced as a result of you hiring them as an intern. Or you think about how many people Mr. Calloway has influenced, you know, just because every young man, a young lady, or boy or girl that he worked with went on to influence somebody else. They went on to become parents themselves, and they're sharing what they got from Mr. Calloway when they were in his recreation program. So he's influenced a whole lot more than just the ones who was actually in his presence. And it's the same thing with your intern. So you hired 100 but influenced probably 400 or 800. And, you know, that's the way – yeah, exactly. So that's the way I always look at it, right? So when you're talking to one person, you know that you're talking to at least four people, because they're going to share with you what you shared with that individual person, you know. So we touch many, many lives. So it's the same thing, you know, even with this program right now, you're going to have so many people will have so many people that will actually listen, but then we're going to have so many people who will listen that will go back and share what they heard with others. And so you're touching a whole lot more than what the actual number will say. And you know, and that's something that we always, you know, have to keep in mind.
Wow. I think Mr. Calloway was going to say something before we start wrapping up. Can you imagine 30 minutes is gone?
I know, right?
I wanted to say this here.
Go ahead.
100 people you hired, they fed their family. And from that family, they went out and boys, the girls, or whomever, they end up getting a job, because when you got working parents, they teach their kids how to go out and work and take care and be an adult responsible to take care of themselves. And that's what we are doing with this program, to get more people involved, to get more people in educated programs, and then go back and tell the little ones or the young ones, you got to stay on the right path, and you'll be able to do the big things that Ann McNeil and Steve White are doing.
I
cannot think of a better place to wrap up. I want to encourage all of our listeners, if you know anybody who was born and raised in Riviera Beach, have them join us. The number is 661-554-9219, 661-994-9219. This podcast we will be sharing. I want to thank John Smith. He is one of our current interns. He is on the line with us listening in, and he's going to help us to share and promote the show. But I will be getting with you, John, in terms of the details of that. But any last words as we wrap up, Steve first, and then Dan, we'll let you take us home. Steve?
Okay,
yeah. Well, first of all, like I said, I'm excited to be a part of it. And what I look forward to us doing as we go forward and bringing on the guests is really, you know, giving them an opportunity to share with us. Not just, you know, as I was saying before, one thing that we want people to do is not just say, okay, I'm successful, or even if I'm not successful, but if I am successful, you know, how did you get there? And do those how-tos so that we can show other people that they are capable of achieving the same things. And just really spotlight what Riviera Beach has produced. Like you said, it's non-political, but just being able to spotlight what this great city has produced, what it has done for us and what it has done for so many others. And, you know, anytime you share information, that's really what it's all about. So I'm looking forward to just being able to share.
Awesome.
My last remarks is that Thanksgiving, we will feed 6,005. Last year we fed 5,003 because of the pandemic. And a lot of people, no jobs, need help. And we need people not only to help serve, we need people to donate their funds to buy 60 honey baked hams, 125 turkeys and all the sides, and 600 and some pies and cakes, and then pay the people who won't fry the turkeys. They're not going to fry those turkeys without being paid. But most of all, you got to get involved with something. If everybody do a little, it all becomes a lot. You don't have to put a lot in it, but just do a little. And we got a thing going on where we want people to give $20 a month to help in the benevolence funds, because there will be a lot of people who need help. And for some reason, my phone rings all the time about that. But anyway, stay healthy and go with God. God bless all of you.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. We want to remind everybody that you have been listening to the I Am Riviera Beach podcast, and this is episode number one. And next Sunday, Steve and Dan, we will be back here for 30 minutes, and we will continue this dialogue as we continue to work on our lineup. So with that, again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And we will see all of you next Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, everybody, have a good day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
And
all
you
right.
are the master builder. God bless all you all.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.